Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us here on Making It Last with your host, Pamela King. It's all about topics relating to marriage, dating, and love. It's about connection, commitment, and consistency in your life, in your marriage, and with yourself. Thank you for joining, Pamela, and stay tuned for a good, enlightening conversation with your host and her guest here on Making It Last. Well, happy, happy, happy New Year to all of you in radio land. I am so excited to be back on the radio. Took that small, much-needed holiday break. I am Pamela King, coming to you live from the Mid-South. We are cold, but we are do not have any snow, so I definitely understand some of you guys are in the snow and snuggled up listening to us, and we definitely appreciate it. It's a new year, 2014. I call this the year of completion. We're going to complete some things in our lives this year. We're going to start off by releasing some of those baggages that we brought into our relationships, to our marriages, to our lives, and into the new year. I'm so excited about today's conversation because I've been reading a wonderful book called The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Extraordinary Relationships. That word extraordinary stuck out to me because we all want to have that relationship and experience that just resonates in our body and it makes us happy. We make the person we're with happy. And so I have the pleasure of talking to the writers of this book. Can you guys hear all the excitement in my voice? Yes and yes and yes. I have the opportunity to, today we're going to talk to Molly Apple and Joe Dunn, I'm sorry. They are relationship coaches, lovers, and best friends. That's what I'm talking about. They put their experience down on paper, and they have a testimony that they are going to share, and we are going to listen to that. As I told you guys, they have that best-selling book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships. It is award-winning. In 2012, it won the International Book Award Gold Medal and the 2012 Living Now Award Silver Medal. This book is called A Relationship Guide Masterpiece. It is a catalyst for transformation in life, relationships, and self. Just that alone makes me want to talk to them and just get some of the knowledge that they have. So, let's get this started. Let's talk to them and stop prolonging their conversation because they're going to drop some knowledge on us about reducing those baggages. Welcome you guys to Making It Last. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Pamela. It's great to be here with you.
Love your enthusiasm.
I'm telling you, this book has, I just don't even know how to say it. I can't even, I got to write my recommendation and my review of the book, and it's like the words I want to use are not even formed yet.
It speaks to
me. Let me just say, I've read it, and I'm like, okay, yes, yes, oh, yes. Okay, stop stepping on my toe because that is who I was or who I am, and we got to learn how to just have those great relationships, but it starts with us.
It does, Pamela, and you know the word you just used, yes, is really, it's really the key all the way through, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, see, I'm about to say yes again. Yes. It is. You know, reading the book, and I reached out to you guys because you do have a particular chapter in the book about reducing your baggage. And me being a marriage enthusiast and a marriage coach, one of the things I like to talk to the couples about is their history, letting go of history, letting go of certain things in your life that is holding you back from being 100% in your relationship. And when I saw that topic and got deep into that chapter, it's like, yes, there we go again. That's going to be the word today. It's like, yes, this is what I've been saying. You know, your barest hurt sentence in that chapter says to make space in your life for a new relationship or to improve your current one, it's time to start releasing anything you've been holding on to that's preventing you from experiencing true intimacy. Releasing and yes should have been right there at the top of that page.
You know, and really that's our definition of baggage is anything that's preventing you from being truly intimate.
Yeah.
It took us, you know, quite a while of going back and forth of really what is baggage. It's not, you know, a lot of people commonly would think something like if you have had previous marriage or you have children from a previous marriage that they consider that baggage. I don't see that as baggage at all. Those are children. What's the baggage is if we don't have, you know, a loving, open way to work with them and to embrace everybody and to work with whatever comes up for people and whatever troubles they're having.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just saying that's really where the sticking point comes, isn't it? It's not the children. It's not the previous relationship. It's how we work with those things.
Or what we tell ourselves about the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what I was about to say. Baggage is defined or is relative to everyone. It depends on, to me, baggage means anything that is holding you back, that is crippling your life, that you haven't, that is not a positive influence. And I wouldn't consider children as not being a positive influence. It all depends. But, you know, baggage, so let's talk about how people need to define their baggage. How do they recognize baggage in their life?
And I think that's key, recognition.
Yeah, that's huge, is awareness.
Bringing your awareness to anything, you know, that, and in our chapter we go through, you know, as you know, a myriad of things that we ask you to look at, where your ego might be getting in the way, where you might have hidden motivations that you might not even be aware of, and just bringing your awareness to.
Yeah, you might be wounded from some past incident, you know, that you're now bringing into this current relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wounded. Good word.
Right. So being, you know, as honest as you can with yourself about all of those things, and we all have it. We all have stuff. That's part of life.
We just got to be honest about it.
You know, take a real inventory, if you will, of what might, you know, be preventing you in your next relationship. We were talking to a gentleman a couple of weeks ago who had experienced sexual abuse when he was a child. And I've been researching this, and it's not an unusual thing for boys, but it's a very, very difficult thing for men as they get older. There's just not a lot of support in society for how does a man work through that. And it can really affect a relationship. So he was talking about how he's been working with that himself, and when he gets into a new relationship, he wants to have an open dialogue and conversation about his past, what he's been doing to work with it, where he's seen it shown up, and I think that's a model for any of us.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, lay it on the table, you know, right from the beginning so that, you know, you kind of get this person that you're seeing to help you work with it, you know, rather than keeping it hidden and thinking you won't let it show and, you know, having it affect your relationship probably all down the path.
So how do you start that conversation? You know, it's already hard for the person to acknowledge that they have this baggage, but how would you begin to even address that conversation with your spouse or your spouse?
Or even a date. And, you know, Pamela, one of the keys to intimacy is vulnerability, right? And vulnerability is something that takes courage. And so what we have to do is take a bigger picture and say, if what I'm looking for is a really intimate connection, then I'm going to have to take that step to be vulnerable. And how I do it is make a decision to say, you know, this is somebody that I think I could really have a connection with, and so I'm not going to walk into this relationship hiding stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest about what I'm coming into the relationship with and what I'm working with, you know, and And this is, you know, vulnerability is really, I think, challenging for guys because we're not really brought up to be vulnerable. So it's, I think, especially difficult for us guys to really be honest and vulnerable.
That is so true because, you know, we think of a vulnerable man and we are going to call them as weak. But really, them being vulnerable and sharing with you is really, to me, is manly because they are opening up and sharing their feelings.
Right. It's a form of strength.
It's a huge form of strength.
Yeah.
I have never seen it as weak when a man is able to express something that's difficult or challenging, right? Because it's even harder for him to do than it is for me. And I know how hard it is for me.
Because, you know, we have that line of judging, and that's something that we definitely need to try not to do. But I know we say we need to not judge, and we need to be vulnerable, we need to be able to open up, and the other person needs to be able to receive it. But it's not that easy when there's two different backgrounds. I don't understand that. You know, somebody may say, I don't understand that. That didn't happen in my life. So how do you overcome that to get rid of that baggage?
Right, right. Well, I think one of the things that we talk about a lot in our work is something we call leapfrog. And what that is this willingness to help the other person over whatever their obstacles and hurdles might be, and to go in there knowing they're going to be different than mine, you know. And some of it is taking the time to even understand it. Like you said, I wasn't raised in an environment like that. I don't have any clue where you're coming from. So we're going to have to start at the beginning.
But guaranteed, you have other stuff, right? That's different that you're working with that you could, you know, be vulnerable about. And
what that does is give you some fodder for creating real intimacy. And this stuff is, you know, it's challenging and vulnerable and all of that, but it is also the most rewarding part of a relationship is when you get really close and you can really share stuff, you become so connected. And you get that deep experience that you were looking for in the first place by sharing the things that were scary to share.
And I think you get a sense of freedom too, Pamela, by being able to, you know, get something off your chest, right, that maybe you've kept hidden from previous partners or thought you had to keep hidden from this partner. Being able to be honest about it is, can be really freeing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of course, it does take an environment for that.
It does, and that's one of the things that couples, even as you stated in dating, you have to set that environment so that the person you are with feels comfortable enough to share it. Because, again, we don't want to be judged. We don't want to feel mm-hmm. any worse than we already feel.
That is true. Yes, we talk a lot in our book about how to create that environment, and obviously it takes two to create a fully receptive environment for these kinds of things.
Yeah, you really need two willing people.
But we have a little section there, I don't know if you remember, it was, you know, what do I do if my partner isn't interested in reducing their baggage?
Yes.
And really that applies to anything. If my partner isn't willing to be close, if my partner isn't willing to really be intimate, you know, we end up having a few choices, and it's a tough thing to look at. But when we can see, the reason we put that section in here is it really helps people go, okay, you're right. I have just a couple of choices. If I have determined that my partner is really, really not emotionally or otherwise available for deep intimacy, what can I do? The one thing we can't do is change them. And
absolutely.
That's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to hear.
It's the first thing we always try, though.
Yeah, and we think that our love is enough to change them. But the hard part is knowing that we can't and being able to make a decision that is going to be beneficial for us as an individual. Because
right,
when
right.
you get done with it, you have to be whole and happy and complete. I remember throughout the book we talked about self-intimacy and how important that is. So talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when we're talking about self-intimacy, we're talking back a little while ago, we were talking about looking at all of the things that I might bring into a relationship and being honest about, you know, for instance, myself, I came from a family that was, we didn't know how to communicate at all. You know, basically, communication in my family was yelling, screaming, hitting. I had no models for it. And it has been a challenge to work through that. Even today, I just turned 50, and I'm still have this little tendency in the back of my mind, in the some recesses of my being, of wanting to strike first because somebody's going to try to get me. And that still comes out. And when I see it, when I see myself doing it, the best thing I could do is say, oh, Joe, that thing I just said, I just recognize this coming out again, and it diffuses it. But I wouldn't be able to do that if I weren't self-intimate, if I hadn't taken an honest look at how do I behave? That's part of it, you know. What do I bring? What are my motives? What are my desires that I might not speak? Is to bring it all to, at least to the surface inside me, and be honest with myself about it.
So really, what is happening is you are having to, before you can even have your partner to buy into or help you with whatever baggage it is, you have to truly know who you are and know and recognize the baggage and have dealt with it, or is this a combined getting rid of the baggage deal? You know, I can't get rid of it if he doesn't help me type of deal.
Did you want to say something?
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's not that I can't get rid of it if he doesn't help me. It certainly might be easier if he's willing to help me.
Okay.
But I think it's important that we take responsibility for our own stuff, that we don't put it off on our partner and make it their responsibility. And this is something that happens so easily, and it's not our fault. We're given as a model, as a relationship model, that we come into a relationship and stand there and say, you know, I have all these things wrong with me, and I'd like you to fix them for me. And I want you to give me, to validate me and make me feel good about myself. And there's the issue that can really, you know, eat into a relationship without us knowing it. And I can't fully take care of it myself, but at least if I recognize that I'm desiring some assistance from you, I'm desiring validation from you, and I open it up in a way that says, you know, gosh, I can really feel how I'd love your, you know, appreciation for this right now, it makes it a whole different thing than me trying to get it from you through an expectation, say.
Right. It's like what we talk about in our expectation chapter about making an invitation, right, that it comes so much easier if you can invite your partner to
help you with something.
Yeah.
As opposed to expecting them to, and they don't know you're expecting them to, and you start to get resentful, and they are confused, and all of that stuff that so typically goes on. When we can bring it to the surface and be honest about, oh, I'd really love, you know, I'm feeling really down about this, and could you help me look at it in a different way and feel better about it? It's a great connecting experience instead of something that has the potential to really drive a wedge between us.
Right.
And that's so true, and that works maybe in a percentage. But what about those relationships that I love you, but I don't really want to help you deal with this issue that you're having? Now, as long as you are not, you know, that issue doesn't come up, we're good. And it happens. You know, we have people living like that every day, suppressing their true feelings because they love someone, but they can't get that true support from them on this one issue.
Right. And so then we've got our choices, right? Our choices are, number one, to keep handling the way we've done in the past, which obviously if I'm the person that has the issue and you're the one who's not wanting to help me, that's not working. So I got to go on to choice number two. And choice number two is, I leave. You know, if it's too much for me, that this thing is so important to me that the rest of the relationship is not worth it for me to stay in, then I'm going to change my involvement with you, which is a whole nother question, right, of all the support that you want to get for making a decision like that. But the third choice, and this is the one that we find is the most powerful, is to stay in the relationship but change the way that we perceive this particular issue. In other words, I'm seeing right now that for the time being, you're not willing to help me with this. But everything else about this relationship, it's worth it to me to stay here, to commit to it. We've got children. We've got all these other wonderful things. This thing, I can see you are, for the time being, incapable of helping me with. I have got to take my need or desire for help with that to somewhere else, whether that's friends, whether that's a group, whether, you know, some other way, and not try to get it met through you, because I'm just going to beat my head against a wall.
Yeah, and that's not easy to do, right? It takes a really big person to, you know, take that on, especially when we've been expecting our partner to take care of it for maybe many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's really, if you look at it logically, that's your choice.
And
right?
It's such a powerful choice, too, that third choice.
That third choice, to recognize that I'm not going to get every need I want met in this relationship.
And that goes back to, I guess, expectations, because our partner may not even be equipped to handle it. You know, I had said or spoke about me not knowing about that issue. I had never dealt with it, never heard it. So I may not even be equipped to give you what you need in regards to helping you get past it. So
that's
when
a really,
when,
really good point.
You know, so is it, so sometimes you have to understand and appreciate where your spouse is on both ends, or partner is on both ends, and just and appreciate what they can give you. So I like the fact that you gave them three ways to handle it, because either way, you have to choose which one is best for you in the end.
Absolutely.
I really like the way you're putting this, that they may not be equipped to help you with this. I mean, and we might not understand why they don't want to help
right.
us, but I think in every case it would come down to that they're not equipped to help for whatever reasons. They're not interested. They don't have any understanding of it. They're afraid they won't be of any help. It's too much for them. We don't know what it is if they're not willing to share that with us. Or to look at that, but I love this, because it gives us a way to go, okay, you know, for whatever reason I don't understand, you're not able to help me here, and I'm going to go look for someone else who can. But there's a magical thing here that happens, and that's that when we take responsibility for ourselves in that way and stop, you know, if we've been trying, especially if we've been trying for years to get help on that one thing and we're not getting it. When we go and take responsibility and find another way to get that help we need, it often our partner begins to change in a way that we didn't expect.
Absolutely. That is so true. Because go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you go ahead.
It's basically leading by example.
Yes, that's. I was going to say something similar to that, because once we make a change, they'll see the change in us, and so it kind of puts them in a predicament. I got to make a change, because she's changing or he's changing, and what I'm doing is not going along with what they have going on now.
She or he might leave me in the dust, is what you're saying.
Yes. I may lose her or him, or, you know, the relationship, I don't want to have that. I need to make these changes.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm thinking of one couple who she was very interested in travel and he was a homebody. And so, I mean, this went on for a long time of trying to get him, please just go here or go to this thing with me or go to that thing with me. And that went on for a long time before she finally realized, you know what? I need to just go find a way to go by myself. Or she ended up going with a group of people. And all of a sudden, her life opens up in this brand new way of her travel that she's always been interested in. He's there going, maybe I should take a look at this thing I've been resisting all these years.
And they'll come on board. But if we suppress our own feelings or our own needs, then everyone in the I'm gonna step out and say everyone in the relationship is living a lie and is not happy. And that's not the way it should be. You definitely have to have, as it was said, that we have to have that open conversation. You know, I never thought about having it on the very first date, as it was said. But you know, at least have that conversation on the onset of that relationship.
Right.
Yeah, and ongoing, and that really sets the tone too. For, and it lets you know if this person is available for a relationship that's deeply intimate. If they're able to be drawn into conversation on that level, you know, and so, you know, there's a way we can just share part of our story, maybe if we don't want to feel, you know, 100% vulnerable with somebody we don't know that well, and just test the waters. How do they react to this kind of line of conversation?
That's a good point. You know, go on and share a little bit, or even do a hypothetical type of question and see if you can have a deep conversation with your potential with this person, because it is important. You gotta be able to talk deeper than on the surface.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're actually just finishing up a chapter on this for people who are just starting to date. So we actually have a little exercise in there for people. You know what a speed dating event is, yes?
Yes.
So we have instead of going, oftentimes when you go to a speed dating event, you're told to, you know, prepare your questions in advance, get your answers ready, because you're going to only have 2 or 3 minutes and you want to give them all these details. And we're saying, throw away those questions and answers and go in there, and with each person you meet, be as totally as authentic and vulnerable as you can. Be real.
See what you can do in 2 or 3 minutes, you know, by being authentic.
And see, you know, I feel like that's a way to really feel if you're going to be able to have an intimacy with this person, than just giving them a litany of, oh, here's what I've done in my life and this is what I want. You can do that on a piece of paper.
Yeah, they're doing that all day on the Internet. So,
yeah,
that's right.
You know, bring your true self to the table so that they can get a true glimpse of who you are, so everyone involved can make a educated decision on what they want to do.
Yeah, you get what you really do is you open up the space to see if there's a potential for that deep connection, you know, and that's what we do when we go out and meet people as a single person. All we're doing when we're starting a conversation with someone is making a space for both of us to see if there's mutual attraction. So what's nice about having that attitude when you're meeting people is that, you know, it gets rid of this idea of rejection. There really is no such thing. They're either feel a potential for mutual attraction with me or they don't. In neither way am I rejected. They either just say, they're either in their own way, they're just saying, yes, I feel it, no, I don't. It doesn't have to do with me.
So how can we take this feeling of no rejection into the marriage? Because as we grow and as we age, things changes. And just because I change doesn't mean that my particular partner is going to change. So how can someone take that mindset into their long-term relationship?
You want to say? Okay.
So, don't be shy.
I'm not sure. I talk a lot, so I like to offer to Joe. that we really have that in our relationship. We've been together 10 years.
Yep.
And there is no, it doesn't, if I'm feeling bad about anything, I know that it's really related to something I'm telling myself and about what Joe might or might not be thinking. It really doesn't have anything to do with him. So again, we're talking about, I really do take responsibility for how I'm feeling. So he doesn't feel that pressure on him to be responsible for me. He's much more willing to be there when I want him to be there, when I request or desire him to be there. So I didn't quite get to your question though, when I was going for it. You said about how can we bring that not feeling rejected?
Right.
Because,
you know, you had mentioned about when we're dating, we take our authentic self, and if the person is not feeling it we don't make a connection for us not to feel like we're rejected. We should really look at that as okay, thank you, because we ain't gonna click. So,
exactly.
But once we said I do, you know, once you said I do, or you made a commitment to be in this long term relationship, as you grow, things have changed, and sometimes our spouse or our partner do not go on that same grow as we grow. So how do we?
Yes. You know, how do we not take it personally?
Yes.
It's the same thing we're talking about. Yes. That it's really for me, it's a choice. And understanding that, number one, I feel rejected because of what I tell myself about whatever Joe's doing, saying, feeling. The feeling of rejection is tell myself that means. So I like to choose an interpretation of what's ever happening that doesn't make me feel bad about me, that doesn't make me result in me feeling rejected. So let's say, here's a very simple example. Let's say Joe forgets our anniversary, right? Very typically that somebody might feel rejected if their partner forgot their anniversary.
Not typically that I would forget it.
I knew Joe was going to climb in then.
I got to defend myself, you know, on occasion.
But in terms of if he forgets the anniversary, I'm not going to go attach a bunch of meaning to that.
Like
that,
he doesn't care about me anymore, or he doesn't love me.
Or he doesn't love
right.
me enough. If he loved me more or he loved me enough, he would have remembered. I don't tie those things together. And so I don't feel, you know, I'm like, whatever's going on in his memory, I may not understand it. Just like you said, I may not understand somebody's history or what they're bringing in. I may not understand how this guy's memory works, because it doesn't work like mine. But it doesn't mean he doesn't love me. So, and it's the idea that he doesn't love me or doesn't love me enough is what gives me that feel, makes me feel bad. You know,
which might have not have anything to do with how I'm actually feeling towards her.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't. So.
That's I'm also tweeting, so yeah, because you've given some great knowledge here, so I'm trying to make sure I can share with those that couldn't listen in. But, Molly, that statement you just said about I can't tie what his memory to my feelings, how he loves me, because I don't know what he's thinking about or how his memory is. That is
exactly.
a powerful statement, because a lot of people, and not only women, but I'm just going to say people in general, will tie their spouse love, they will equate their spouse love to what their spouse remembers or do not do.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. And so often it's not at all related.
And what we like to use is something we call invitation. And this is so powerful, Pamela. So if my Joe tends to not remember my birthday, not remember my anniversary, not remember Valentine's Day. And if I care about those things, instead of, you know, as the day approaches and starting to wonder, is he going to remember? And, you know, it's like I'd rather walk up and just, like, you know, in a sultry voice, invite him to take me out for Valentine's Day next weekend, you know, and make it enticing for him to remember.
She's usually wearing some really small piece of lingerie when she asks me that.
Come on. And let go of this idea that, you know, whether or not he remembers has anything to do with how much he loves me. Because I know for a fact, and, you know, having these conversations with him, that it doesn't. And I'm willing to bet that for a lot of people, it is not tied to that.
And it shouldn't be, because... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, on and from the guy's perspective, that who might on occasion forget an anniversary or something, to be invited by your partner, I mean, it's so great because, you know, you're off the hook. I mean, maybe you remembered it, maybe you didn't, but now you're getting an opportunity to say yes to something that your partner is bringing up rather than feeling an expectation from your partner that you've got to do something, or even worse, forgetting that you were supposed to do it and then, you know, feeling the aftermath, you know, later. So it's a great feeling when, you know, your partner comes to you and invites you to celebrate her birthday with her or Valentine's Day with her.
Especially in the lingerie pit, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Lingerie solves everything.
But, you know, when we take ownership of that and we become okay with the fact that we can't tie our spouse love to their memory or something that they didn't do, and we be proactive in helping them to remember, because we all are human. I mean, life happens, and we just may forget. Because sometimes I forget how many years I've been married to my spouse. I give us more years, of course, but I'm glad he knows not to say that, you know, who is she talking about? That wasn't me. Or, you know, to a whole other level. But when we don't take that ownership of it, we start tying that into our emotions and causing us all kind of issues. Then our spouse or partner looking at us like, what is wrong?
And you talk about
date that you could have easily said, well, babe, what are we going to do? Or do you remember? Or leave a note. You know, I'm good for leaving notes. Leave trails. You know, you're supposed to know your spouse, so make it something, or your partner, make it something fun so that if you know that they have a short-term memory, help them out.
Yes. It's so much better than attaching it to your self-worth and feeling lousy.
Yes.
You know, we have to take this leap, because we've been given this idea that if your partner doesn't remember your birthday or anniversary,
or if we have to ask for it, it's not okay.
It devalues it.
Yeah.
And we just got to throw that out, because that is not working. And this way of, you know, leaving your sweet little note about it, if it's something that means something to you, if it's important to you, and you leave, you know, you can ask for what you want, too, you know.
I can see it right now on a heart-shaped post-it, a little pink heart-shaped post-it.
That'd be a good way to do it, is give every couple a pad of heart-shaped post-its for their anniversary in case they need to write these notes to each other.
Because wouldn't it be better to invite your partner, have them say yes, go out and have a great time and really enjoy your anniversary or your birthday or Valentine's Day, then, you know, wait for your partner, have him blow it, and be disappointed. Even if you do make it outside the door, you're not going to have a good time.
Yes.
And then and to tie it into our topic today, we're creating new baggage.
Great point. That's a great point,
you know,
Pamela.
I'm glad, and I can share with you guys. No, seriously, that's creating a new baggage, because one of the things that you guys brought out in the book is that a lot of times our baggage is about unresolved feelings of emptiness, and we have some people feel empty when their spouse forgets something, even if it's as simple as going to the store and picking up eggs. That it can blow out to be something long drawn and unnecessary.
Yes.
We need to stop that.
Yes. Yeah.
If we want to be happy, we do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and that's why they need to pick up your book. And I tell you guys, you need to go out there and get this book. It's a really good read. It's really easy flowing, and it is one of those that you need a pen and a paper for. Well, me, I did, because I like to jot down and all of that. So tell the listeners more about your book, how they can get it, and all that good stuff.
Sure. You can actually download two of the chapters off our website at thesoulmateexperience.com/ free chapters. Free.
Actually, the soulmateexperience.com/free chapters.
And the two chapters you'll get are, one of them is called Loving Your Body, and that's about, you know, loving your body.
Yeah.
And loving everything about yourself, really, because the more you can do that, the more fun a relationship's going to be, because you'll bring a lot more happiness about yourself into the relationship and not be looking to it to sort of make you feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other chapter is having a guest in your life, and that's the first chapter in the second half of the book, which is about keeping your soulmate experience alive. And although we chose that phrase because people can relate to what we're talking about with a soulmate experience, that experience where you're deeply connected to someone physically, intellectually, physically,
emotionally.
Spiritually, emotionally, you know, on every level. And we want to be able to keep it alive by not letting baggage collect in our relationship. Stuff like jealousy, expectations, resentment, guilt, blame. So our book is all about magical ways, really, they feel like magic, to dispel that stuff, to clean it out, and to keep it from building up.
Yeah.
So you can keep relating on this kind of clean, magical slate that, you know, Joe and I truly, truly, truly experience on
a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great chapters to download and read.
So, and the book's available anywhere online, The Soulmate Experience. Easy to find.
It is, you guys. You make sure you get it. Now, Joe, I'm going to ask you this question because Molly has definitely been taking over this conversation.
Please ask him.
She's known for that.
Now, you know, it's all good that you guys have written this book, and I can really feel the connection, you know, with talking with you all and interacting with you on Twitter and all of that. But now, truthfully, how long did it take for you to get to this point? Because Molly has already shared with us that she didn't come from a family that knew how to truly communicate in a positive way. So, you know, it has to have been some hills and valleys and all of that. How did you get to this point that you were able to really share your testimony?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to disappoint you or if I'm just going to leave you in disbelief, but we really didn't go through all of those hills and valleys.
Okay.
You know, we'd been in our relationship for, what was it, 4 years? When we realized that we had never had a harsh word, an argument, I mean, much less a fight, about anything. And that was what you know, really kind of sold us on the idea of putting these principles into a book that then, you know, we could share with other people so that they could have this kind of relationship. So we didn't really have to dig ourselves out of some deep hole that we had, you know, created for ourselves. We just had this magic from the very beginning of our relationship, and somehow we've been able to just keep the space clean so that we continue to grow together and continue to love each other.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now,
you know, I know I'm going to interrupt here, right? Is that okay?
Yeah, I know you have something to say.
Because I would roll a little bit backwards to before we met, and I think both of us experienced hills and valleys.
Yes.
Before we met.
Okay.
Yes, and I had done a lot
canyons.
Of...
Canyons. Deep canyons. precipices, you know.
And I had a spiritual group that I ran for quite a number of years where we explored all of these things that ended up in this book eventually, and I had a group of people who were willing to try things out. So it was sort of like... That's the place where I really started to figure out what would work to keep things magical, which was really my goal, and it always had been. I can remember when I was really young, like in this, you know, very abusive environment that I grew up in. How could it not be like this? Was a question that I asked frequently. And Joe, you experienced Michael Naumer's.
I did. I really had the great fortune to attend a relationship workshop. In a previous relationship that had really, you know, sort of taken a turn for the worse, and I credit that workshop with, you know, keeping that relationship going for many, many years, longer than it would have And it gave me a lot of the principles that I came into this relationship with. And when I first met Molly and we started to have conversations about relationships, we realized that in so many ways we were on the same page, that a lot of what I had learned by this amazing couple, were ideas that Molly shared. And so that really helped going into the relationship with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want those canyons. We knew we didn't want those canyons anymore.
I was just, you learned from your previous relationship so that when you guys did get together, you already knew what you wanted and knew who you were so that you can combine your I don't want to use the word talent, but that's what I'm going to say, is combine your talents to build this 10-year relationship so that you don't have those canyons.
Right. And I think it takes awareness, right? Even today, we always have to be aware of what we're doing, what our intentions are, how it might be coming across to our partner. So there's a lot of awareness that I think we practice in this relationship to make sure that it stays this great way that it's been for 10 years.
Way more fun than canyons.
Yeah.
That is so funny. So now, me being who that I am definitely a proponent for couples to do a regular dating. So tell us how you guys keep romance going, and do you have any regular date nights that you do?
We do have a chapter in the book called Exploring the Edges, and I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at that, but we talk a lot about making time, not just to have a date night, but to do something that's a little bit out of your comfort zones, because that's what puts you back in a position of the unknown, the
exciting, the getting you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. So
it's kind of the same things you're going through when you were first dating.
Exactly.
So we want to try to recreate some of that excitement, those feelings.
So we are definitely we are available when one or the other of us suggests something that's a little bit out of the ordinary or uncomfortable. We just definitely go for that as a date.
partners yoga or.
Yeah.
One time our neighbors had a pole, and they set up this pole dancing in their living room, and so we came over and tried that.
They were two pole dancing teachers that happened to live next door to us and have a pole in their living room, and so we went over and got a lesson, That kind of thing, it's fun and it makes you a little uncomfortable, but you support each other in that. Like, we're here together doing this crazy thing and
to just laugh and have fun. And
we're definitely we haven't gone yet, but there's a restaurant in San Francisco, and I think there are a few around the country that serve dinners in the dark. The waiters are blind. And I am definitely, that's on my bucket list for a date night, because anything that makes me nervous, and that makes me really nervous, going in there, and I keep thinking about earthquakes, and I know, last year we took Joe to the water chambers.
Oh, yeah.
The sensory deprivation tank.
The tanks with just a few inches of water where they close you up inside. It's like being in a coffin, way in warm water. So we did that together, and that was exciting.
That was a date.
That would be definitely out of my comfort zone. I think that would be out of my husband's comfort zone, too.
There you go.
Well, there's a reason to go and do it.
Yes. I believe we definitely would have to rely on each other more than we probably thought we ever had.
There you go.
And that's the point.
Yes, absolutely. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. So is there any upcoming projects or anything that you want to share with the listeners that they may need to keep an eye out on or participate in with you guys?
We do. We are working on the sequel to this book. It's going to be called The Soulmate Lover, and it's about... and it's taking all of these ideas really into the bedroom. But it's much more than that. You know, we talk about how to be truly sensual in your life with each other. Like, I mean, something as simple as eating a mango can be this incredibly sensual experience together. So, you know, the world is just a sensual place, and we kind of just have to open ourselves
it's
to
Molly's
it.
Molly's sensual playground. That's what I've decided the world is.
And we did last year put out a book called 52 Prescriptions for Happiness, which is available online as well.
And that was a fun project to do, and came out great.
So, and there's also, we have a course, an online course, available currently at thedailyom.com that's called
Overcoming Jealousy.
Overcoming Jealousy. It's a 23-day online course. It's very reasonable to purchase it if you want to take the course online. And we've just heard amazing things from the people who have taken that, who have really learned a new way to work with jealousy in themselves or in a partner and really find a way to use it to transform their experience with their partner.
Yeah, yeah. Powerful stuff.
Now, what was that website for the course?
It's called The Daily Om.
DailyOm.com. Okay. And you can find Overcoming Jealousy by Molly Apple and Joe Dunn is probably what you would search on.
Right.
Yeah. And okay. I think if you go to our website, thesoulmateexperience.com, I think there's a link to the jealousy course.
There is,
as well.
Yeah.
Well, then, you guys, just in case you didn't get that, definitely go to their website, thesoulmateexperience.com. And learn more about Molly and Joe and the Soulmate Experience. It's just what they're doing in the relationship here, because they are doing some amazing things. And as you can tell, they were good together. I can just imagine the laughs and the good time that they have around the house. So just go and check them out, because their whole purpose is helping singles and couples create and sustain profoundly connected, exciting, and deeply rewarding relationships. That extraordinary, y'all remember that word, because that word means, I just love that word. They are helping you create those extraordinary relationships. So reach out to them. They're on Twitter at Soulmate Experience, which is Experience, E-X-P-R-C-E.
And we're also on Facebook. We've got a pretty big community on Facebook, and people have met there, so it's a fun place to check out.
Ooh.
I think there's 64,000 fans right now on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, so you guys hear that. find them on Facebook. Find them on Twitter. Definitely go to their blog. To their website. And definitely sign up for their newsletter and their information so that you can receive any updates about the books and events that they have. Because as you can tell from the conversation that we've just had in this time, that goes by really fast when you're having fun.
Life
they definitely have some great information that they're sharing, and I'm just glad that you guys stopped by Making It Last and shared some of that information with us.
Well, it was so great of you to have us, Pamela. It's really a lot of fun.
It's been great.
I know, time goes by so fast, it's like, what? We're almost over? No, I want to talk to them more. So you know you want to come back when you release the Soulmate Experience Lover Edition, because now I got this vision of this mango, so I'm having to see if I can go to the store and find a mango.
There you go.
So that may be a whole new experience for us.
Tell your husband he's welcome.
I know, he's listening. I shouldn't have him to come online and tell you thank you. You know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing in the relationship space. If no one else tells you, I definitely want to tell you from myself and my husband that we really appreciate it. And you guys' transparency is just awesome because, you know, we're able to really see that you are living what you are putting in the book instead of just writing something and then you're like, okay, who are these people?
Yeah, I don't think we could write about it if we weren't living it.
No.
It wouldn't work for
us.
Well,
you, Oh, okay. I about to say, now, you know, people do that all the time, but okay, good. I'm glad to see it's nothing with
yeah, just not
that. Yes. Well, I do thank you, though. I thank you for what you're doing. I'm going to give you a few, if you need a few minutes to maybe, if we didn't cover something that you definitely wanted to cover or give out any more information about. You guys are soulmate experience. You can definitely do that before I close out our show today.
You know, I don't know why it came up to me, but when you're talking about your husband being there, we got another great date idea for you. Have you guys ever taken a walk in the rain naked?
Oh, well, see, this is, I can't tell you all I've been, yes, we have. All I can tell y'all is the rain is good for the soul. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
The rain is good for the soul. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, okay. See, I see now I'm going to have my day night early. Mm.
For the mango.
I'm going to the store tomorrow. If we have some here in Memphis, then we have some mangoes. But I truly have enjoyed this conversation. I thank you guys so much for being here and sharing with us about reducing the baggage in your marriage, you know, or in your relationships, because it's really important to let go of baggage and don't even create new ones, as we talked about tonight.
Right, and hopefully we can let those go too.
Yes. Don't create them. Well, I definitely thank you all for Molly and Joe for being here on Making It Last. It was such a good conversation. I want to leave you guys with a piece that I've read in their book and that I definitely highlighted, and is now on a vision board of mine that I can see all the time. You know, they made the quote in one of the quotes, one of the many quotes that are in their book, The Soulmate Experience, is, by becoming more aware of anything that might be preventing you from being open and authentic, you will create a healthy inner environment for being in relationships, reducing your baggage, whether taking responsibility for your insufficiency, conversation, bringing awareness to your ego and your addictions, learning to embrace and develop your gifts, or freeing yourself from resentment, makes you much more available for the soulmate experience. That quote alone should definitely free you from whatever baggage that you guys are having. I invite you, I actually beg you, if you are struggling in your relationships or struggling with yourself and not understanding how to be happy or and whole in a relationship, I really implore you to go and get this book. It's not going to break the bank. Molly and Joe is not going to pay their mortgage off you buying one book. So don't think it's too expensive for you to get. But for your own health, relationship health or emotional health, it's definitely worth the cost. And it comes in Kindle and all of that. But you can find it. I don't need to tell you how to get the book. I just need to tell you to get the book. And I want to thank them for being here on the show today. So if you guys have any questions or concerns, definitely tweet me at Dating My Spouse. Tweet them. They are very approachable. I love them. They were great. They definitely replied to any tweets that you sent to them. They are Soulmate Experience on Twitter, Soulmate Experience on Facebook. You know, Google them. Go to the website, thesoulmateexperience.com. Find them. I look forward to you joining next week here on Making It Last. We're going to have another great topic. I just look forward to break some chains around here with these relationships and with you. We're going to get us some happy relationships in the 2014. It's all about happiness and leaving these baggage behind. Whatever's holding you back and keeping you in bondage, let it go. Tell it to hit the road, Jack. You do not belong here anymore. So that was me, Tamala King, here in Memphis, Tennessee, on Making It Last. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Molly and Joe.
Thank you for joining us here on Making It Last. It was such an intriguing and thought-provoking conversation about marriage, love, and dating. It's all about connection, commitment, yeah, and consistency. Make sure you join us here at the same time, same place next week when I offer you another great conversation with some great guests. Until next time, remember to date your spouse, open up the lines of communication, and just enjoy yourself. This is Pamela on Making It Last.